sure, you know, but I haven't opened it. I haven't been drinking. And he said, it's against the law to be in the park with alcohol, period. And he wrote me a ticket. I'm paying on a $136 fine for having in possession of alcohol.
You were transporting the alcohol through the park? That's bullshit. Yeah, that's complete
through
bullshit.
The park. And it was in a bag. He could see, because it was a plastic bag, that it was beer. And I didn't deny it, but it was against the law.
Even the officer was?
Oh, shoot, I don't know. He's on a bicycle, and he's a city police. Uh-huh. And, you know, I wish I had his name, but...
Well, I'm sure that he goes around ticketing all the wine drinkers and the upper middle class people. You can see him. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't. He obviously goes after people like yourself, who, you know, you look, you know, you got a beard, you got a mustache, you know, wearing a backpack.
I'm an alcoholic, you know, and I, you know,
but were you drinking at the time?
No, I wasn't drinking.
You had booze on your breath?
Do you know? I have it now.
Did you have it on your breath?
No, I didn't. No, okay. I was on my way home.
Right.
Yeah. And
well, it sounds like a bunch of shit to me, as I've said. I think that sucks. And
appreciate your helping out, buddy.
Sure.
See you guys.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Chris.
We're here at the Coffee Roasting Company at about 1:15 on the 11th, 1st of November, and I'm talking to an anonymous, let's call her Mary, a person who sleeps in her vehicle and has got, for her pains, it looks like at least one ticket for $54. Isn't that right?
That's right. I got a ticket at 3 in the morning from a cop who came and woke me up while I was sleeping in a vehicle. And
is it out at Harvey West?
And it was out near Harvey West, over by the Costco and by the UPS. And they just woke me up, and they actually came around and woke me up a couple nights in a row that week. And they only gave me a ticket for one night, and that was for $54.
Is that something you can afford to pay?
No, it's not.
Now, who was the officer who did this?
The officer? I'm not quite sure who it was.
Let me take a look. Maybe I can decipher the scribble here. Officer, this one, S. Could be Swanick. Was it kind of a buff guy? Kind of gray hair?
He wasn't an older cop. He was one of the younger cops.
Yeah, it's 182, and it's October 5th we're talking. Did he give you any other place to go? Did he say that there was a place you could go to?
He didn't recommend any other place. He just said that if I didn't move within a certain amount of time, you know, he would come back again.
And give you a second ticket?
Right, but I did get this first ticket right away, so.
Now, did this officer warn you beforehand that you are not allowed to camp in Santa Cruz, or I should say to sleep in your vehicle in Santa Cruz?
No, there was no warning. The ticket was just issued right away, and he said that I was in violation of the law. And I asked him if there were certain areas of town where I was allowed to park, and he said no, for the entire city of Santa Cruz, you're not allowed to sleep anywhere in a vehicle, according to the law.
Now, of course, that's not true. As I've told you, you can sleep in a church parking lot with a written permission, in a business parking lot with written permission, and also in a driveway for no more than 3 days per month with written permission.
Right, so he didn't fully inform me of what the law was that I was violating.
Perhaps you should complain to the Citizens Police Review Board about that.
Right.
So what are you doing tonight? Are you essentially sleeping illegally, or have you decided to move on, or what? Have you found a place to sleep? What's your situation?
Well, I pretty much park wherever every night, so I guess that would mean I'm sleeping illegally again tonight. I just hope that I'm in a place where the cops don't come and wake me up. Usually they don't unless somebody calls first. But on this night, for that whole week, during the week when I got the ticket, cops were waking everybody up.
Were there other people around that also got tickets, or you heard that had been woken up?
I heard them getting woken up. I don't know if they got tickets. They probably did get tickets on the same night I did.
Did the police officer say that there had been any complaints about your being there?
He didn't mention any complaints.
Did he say he was instituting a new policy of some sort?
He didn't say. He just said that I was violating the ticket, or violating the law.
How long have you lived in your vehicle?
About half a year.
And are you Santa Cruzan or from out of town?
I've been in Santa Cruz the whole time in my vehicle. It's registered. I have a driver's license. I have everything. It's
You're just not allowed to sleep, that's all.
Right.
Keep that in mind.
You had to wake me up just to tell me I was breaking the law.
So, we've been fighting the sleeping ban here in Santa Cruz for a long time, and they made some minor modifications. This ticket, the notice now says $54 instead of $162, which means they finally corrected the law in terms of the reduced fines. You also can do community service, theoretically, by, and again, talking to people out at the Homeless Services Center, Karen Brock and Ken Cole, I've suggested you get in touch with.
And you've been listening to a series of interviews about beatings from presumably non-police officers of homeless people, though there has been some concern of the harassment and at least one complaint of a police beating of individuals who said they were police and allegedly showed badges. Again, this is second-hand or even second-hand rather than third-hand. You heard the report of the man who got it from the man who said it happened. Now we're going to get back to a subject that we have been covering in some depth in the past, and I want to get this done because I promised people, and I imagine people are listening tonight, who want to hear more about the Robert Steffen case. Robert Steffen is the man sitting with the black and white umbrella on Pacific Avenue who has been barred from Bunny's Bench. We call it Bunny's Bench even though it's a public bench and supposedly on public property paid for with taxpayer money, supposedly open to the public, because Bunny, that is Margaret Payne in Bunny's shoes, has been able to go to Judge Stevens to secure a restraining order against Robert Steffen, the homeless man who had been sitting on that bench during the daylight hours for the previous, I think it was 4 to 6 weeks on that bench. Harming no one, at least by his account, and the only, of course, there I guess is a dispute there as to whether looking at people, for example, constitutes a form of harm or harassment. This was the claim of Margaret Payne in her attempt to get, well, in the three-page narrative she wrote out for Judge Stevens in order to get a restraining order, which was given to Robert Steffen on November 23rd. He then moved down several benches to Cooper, or I should say actually it's Church and Pacific, right near the old Cooper house, and you can find him there usually during the day with an umbrella, and usually it's rain or shine, although I don't know if he's been braving the rain. I guess maybe we can get some people to call in and let us know that. In any case, this next interview you're going to hear is one with Robert Steffen. We're then going to hear in our interview with Margaret Payne, who actually came out on the sidewalk to talk to protesters Doug McGrath and Marilyn Weaver of the Homeless Issues Task Force, who a Sunday before last were sitting on the Bunny's Bench, as we now call it, in front of Bunny's Shoes, with signs urging people to boycott Bunny's Shoes, given their abusive treatment of Robert Steffen and their attempt to essentially drive a homeless person from a public place. We're also going to hear from, if we have time, the public defender of Robert Steffen, who was himself arrested 3 times at the Homeless Services Center for refusing to leave the porch where he tried to sleep at night because the Homeless Services Center would not allow him in the Interfaith Satellite Shelter program. They say because he would not do the work assignments. He saying that it had to do with hostility and make work assignments from hostile staff members. There's a dispute there, but in any case, he was not allowed in the program, and so he chose to looking for a safe place to sleep on the porch of the Homeless Services Center funded for that purpose, and was arrested 3 times for trespass at the behest of the Homeless Services Center, though they will tell you, well, we didn't want him arrested, we just wanted him to move. But his answer was, no, this is an issue of principle. If you want me to move, you better arrest me because I need a place to sleep, or give me another place to sleep, and they couldn't do that. As they can't, go ahead. You wanted to say something, James?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It wasn't that they couldn't. It was that they wouldn't. Okay, let's say this the right way. Because in reality, I've been there. I've been armory manager. And there are ways and means with a little bit of compassion and caring to deal with all these people. I never had a problem.
James, in fact, you were the manager of the Winter Armory Shelter in November of 1998, correct?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, so in other words, they could have done something else, although Ken Cole claims you got to treat everybody the same, and if you do it to him, you got to do it for somebody else.
That's, well, you should do it for somebody else. Just, there's ways to do for all people, mm-hmm. Okay? I never had a problem, and there are ways. I mean, there is that occasional one that is a violent... I mean, we can't have violence, okay? But a violent
Robert
person...
Robert Steffen, a violent person? No, I didn't think so. I wouldn't say so either.
Yeah.
let me just say that, there is the claim by Doug McGrath and Marilyn Weaver, who worked on the worked for the Homeless Services Center for some time, I think at least a year, probably longer, that Robert Stepan was discriminated against in these programs, and that other people were allowed to and did use the property at night
to sleep,
and that the difference between them and Stepan was they were cronies, insiders who were part of the clique of the Homeless Services Center people.
They've had trailers, they've had campers in there, you know, they've allowed numerous people, vans in there.
Of course, Robert Stepan doesn't have a van. That was taken from him by the police department when he tried to sleep on federal property.
Yeah.
That was an earlier arrest. Anyway, let's hear Robert Stepan now and this interview with him, in which he talks about a new instance of discrimination. I hope I get the right tape on. I'm a little bit turned around working on this, but I think I've got it. So let's see where we are.
Well, we're here at that 24-hour, actually it's that 12-hour-a-day Santa who's doesn't give away gifts, but gives away information and the message that it's okay to be in public spaces, even if you're poor and homeless. Robert Stepan. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
And you're sitting here as usual, rain or shine, parade or no parade. It's, what, December 4th, where the parade, people are beginning to wander away. I see we have a Santa dressed in blue playing the accordion near you. What do you think of all this Christmas stuff?
I have nothing against festivities. I just wish they would be more inclusive of everybody. Say not simply Christian. And I was just thinking about the Boy Scouts, the fascists that were marching by. They don't allow atheists in their midst or anyone who is unsure of their sexual preferences. And I think that's not very nice.
I see we also have with us Becky Johnson, who was observing much of the parade. Becky, were you there when the Boy Scout troop paraded by?
Oh, there were several Boy Scout troops. And of course, you know, I have a gay son, and I object to their policy of excluding gays from the organization, as well as atheists. You know, that's just out and out discrimination. And it really, I'm surprised that all these parents keep putting their kids into these organizations that have these bigoted policies.
Now, naturally, you shouted, "Boy Scouts, get a life, end discrimination in the Boy Scouts," as they walked by.
You got it. I was saying, "What about my gay son?"
And what did they do? Did they stop and explain and apologize?
They looked a little uncomfortable and ignored me.
What about other people in the crowd? Were you a lone voice?
I was a lone voice, but I did see two pagan contingents in the parade, and I was happy to see them, and I was yelling, "Go pagans!"
Robert, anything you want to add? I know you mentioned that you've been here on this bench for about a week now since your eviction by court order from the public bench near Bunny Shoes.
Yes, I have been here.
And you mentioned that actually an employee of Bunny Shoes had actually given you a lunch a couple of days ago.
Yes, she did. One of them. Of course, another one has flipped me off every time, well, many times as she walked by.
So it's a mixed reaction from the Bunny Shoes crowd, eh?
Yes, it is. It doesn't seem to be a solid front.
Sounds like guilt pains to me.
Yes, but there hasn't been much harassment in the last couple of days. Is that accurate?
Yes, except for that one employee who's been.
And that hasn't happened in the last two or three days.
Yeah, yesterday.
Oh, it just happened yesterday again.
Yes. Yeah, she flipped me off yesterday and a couple of days ago.
So the same woman is expressing a negative view of you in an offensive manner as she walks by.
Yes, and the one who gave me lunch has said hello in a nice manner. So.
I think you should offer the employee that's flipping you off lunch. Maybe that would do it.
Maybe, but I'd rather not have a conversation at this time with her.
Hey, Margaret. That's Margaret Meyer, the famous civil liberties attorney, walking by, the one in red.
Civil liberties attorney?
Yes.
Civil liberties? Well, you might show her my restraining order.
I would like to, but she hasn't talked to me in 7 years. So.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Well, listen, Robert, what, anything else you wish to say? I see you've got some...
Oh, I forgot to mention, did I mention Zoccoli's,
You mentioned that Zoccoli's, has an unusual policy of,
Quick correction, that's not Zoccoli's, that's Zanato's. Zanato's, the department store, that is next to Long's in downtown Santa Cruz. Right, a grocery store, not a department store.
Card has a sign that says there is no God on it, as well as Robert Stephan for President 2000 in your campaign platform. When you arrived there with your cart, which you keep, I guess, a lot of your possessions, you told me that about 3 or 4 days ago, Zockley told you could not enter with the cart. Oh, that's true.
And again, we're confusing Zockley's with Zanatto's. My apologies for that, all of you out there in Zockley's. It's not Zockley's. It's, again, Zanatto's.
Let me put the cart in there. But one of the managers saw the signs and said, well, that was before we saw the signs, and now you can't have it in the store. And so it's not protected. I have to put it outside. And then when you went to the counter to pay for your goods, I guess initially in pennies and nickels, they told you they didn't accept U.S. currency of that sort?
Well, that's true. I had a bag of $5 pennies counted out, and they wouldn't accept that. And I tried nickels and dimes, and they said unless they were in rolls, they wouldn't accept the U.S. currency. And they wouldn't offer me any rolls to fill.
But luckily you had some with you just for that contingency.
Well, I did have paper for paper money, but I did not have paper to fill the penny, you know, paper rolls.
So you had to put your coins back in your pocket or in your bag and whip out the big bucks.
Yeah, exactly right. Unfortunately. Because I now have this some rather weighty coinage with me that I have to get rid of.
Well, you're a weighty person in a sense. I'm not in the sense you're overweight physically, but the issues you raise are, should we say, troubling to many.
Unfortunately, I feel that they're very straightforward issues. I'm sorry that they raise such questions in people's minds.
Thank you again, Robert. Anything you want to conclude with?
Except hopefully everyone have a happy day and every day, not just in December. I think we should have happiness all year.
Hopefully a happy night when you won't be arrested by police for sleeping outside, or harassed, or beaten up by trollbusters.
Or frozen. It's getting rather cold out now.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
We're talking about perennial critic and sometimes Santa Claus, James Nay.
No, we don't want to talk to him at this time. Actually, that was a good interview, James, we had with you on the street, but since we have you in the studio, we're going to do that. But I think before we do, unless you have any comments about anything you've heard, we're going to launch into the long-awaited discussions between Margaret Payne, the owner of Bunny Shoes, Bunny herself, actually. I believe she is Bunny. Bunny, I guess, is a nickname for Margaret, perhaps. She's the woman who owns Bunny Shoes and got a restraining order to bar Robert Stephan from the bench in front of Bunny's Shoes. She said because her employees were made uncomfortable by his being there. I actually went in and interviewed three of the employees, and some of them said they were uncomfortable with his being there. Others said that one actually apparently told him that she wasn't particularly uncomfortable. I asked if they ever talked to Robert. They generally said no, and my answer to a solution to this whole situation was for Margaret Payne, Bunny, and her employees to have a sit-down with Robert Stephan and a couple of his friends and see, just explain what it is that makes them feel uncomfortable, because I think that could go a long way toward resolving the situation. I suggested that with Margaret at the time, and she was very, I was quite moved by Margaret's concerns. She apparently has a rather very difficult history. Her mother apparently was killed by a homeless person. That's mentioned in the public document that she wrote out in order to get the injunction against Robert Stephan from sitting on the bench outside Bunny's Shoes. And again, that's the man with the gaily colored, actually it's a black and white umbrella downtown. You can see him sitting on Pacific Avenue, kind of near this and across from the Cinema 9 now at Church and Pacific, where he has been moved to. And I think it's a very bad and dangerous precedent to have homeless people removed from public spaces by the action of merchants for nonviolent behavior.
Absolutely, and listen to it. What you're saying there, she got him removed because partially one of her filings is that, well, her mother was killed by a homeless person. So now, because she says she has some feelings about something that happened to her mother, she has a right to bar human beings on the basis of there be, that'd be the same as saying, oh, well, if maybe she was beaten, so no men can sit on that bench because she was abused by a man. You know, right. Come on, let's get serious here.
I hear you. I mean, I guess my sympathy for Margaret Payne has to do with the fact her accessibility to this conversation. She well, of course, the reason that she and the head of the Hat Company, which is the adjacent store, and I guess several other local sympathizers came out to talk to Marilyn Weaver and Doug McGrath, is that the two of them were sitting on the bench with signs about boycotting Bunny shoes. We're going to join the conversation in progress between Margaret Payne, the owner of Bunny Shoes, Bunny, and Marilyn Weaver, who is a Homeless Issues Task Force member who also is a Homeless Services Center worker and a friend of Robert Steffens, and she also feels strong enough about this issue that she had a sign protesting people, protesting the Bunny Shoes removal of Robert from our court system's removal initiated by Bunny Shoes. And let's hear that now. Sorry, Weaver is speaking.
Yes, sir. And very kind. I have a hard time believing any of the things I've been hearing off my ear here. I just think he's being victimized. I think he is actually being victimized. And
maybe
I think
you
that
haven't been sitting with him every day, watching him watch the employees. You know,
we come down and check on him all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, we're here all day long. You know, the girls come in and out of the store. You know, it's been going on for a very, very long time. And unless you've been here watching it, maybe you haven't experienced what he does.
I've actually stayed and visited him. You must have seen me here before. Or Doug, we come down and check on him all the time, bring him food.
No, I don't recognize you, or it really doesn't. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can't have been with him.
Women that feel threatened by him. Is this correct?
Yes, there's definitely women that feel threatened by him. You know, it's abnormal behavior to stare at somebody every time they go in and out of a store. He stares at them when they come to work. He stares at them when they take their breaks. You know, he knows people. He knows who people are, whose boyfriends are whose. How does he know this? Why does he know this?
He's there and observes.
Yeah.
He observed at the homeless shelter, too. He observed unbelievable amounts of... He gave us a lot of good information that helped in tremendous ways down there, just because he sat quietly and observed. And he was not a threatening force in any way to anyone.
But when he, you know, when he couldn't sit on this bench, he paced up and down, you know, very... very disturbed, very distressed, vibing, watching the person.
Did he ever even, he may not have talked to you about that, but this was a safe place for him. A place that he deemed, in his mind, safe. And there are a lot of people being beaten up there, you know.
You know, I can understand that. I can understand him wanting to be in a safe place, maybe not down by the bus station, dark.
Yeah. There's a toilet over there.
He just stand that, but a bench 10 feet away is no less safe than this one, and he didn't want to go sit on that one.
Oh,
he wanted
the reason
to pace.
For that is because there was a facing bench. There was a reason for everything. He liked having a bench that had no. Sometimes people would sit across from him. He said, and that would bother him a little bit sometimes. Sometimes people would kind of, yeah. Sometimes it would bother him because people would, you know, make fun of him or whatever, and so he liked the bench that didn't have a face. Financy didn't have a bench facing him. So
not enough to pace up and down. I think maybe you're being more, you know, irrational right now. You're sounding a little bit sort of like you just, you know, want to see what is going on with him, and you don't understand what's going on with us. I mean, I think you really don't.
What I'm trying to figure out is, in order to see him looking at you guys, you have to look at him, correct?
Or feel him looking at you.
I mean, I don't know how that goes, but we're really, our direction in life is to help people who are out there for various reasons, whether it is mental, physical, and I'm on the Homeless Issues Task Force, and I'm trying with all my heart to change things for people like this, and I'm trying not to have Downtown Association or anybody else victimize these poor people. They are humans. They are humans with feelings, and until you know those humans better, and you can't really know them in the ways that you've talked to him, I know you can't, because he feels that you're on the other side. You have to be able to understand where he's coming from, and I don't think you can do that. Probably you can't do that unless you've ever been homeless. I don't know. You said you've been homeless, so you should understand that part. We have too. We've been homeless, and we totally understand the fears and the stigma attached to it. There's a lot of things that go on, and there needs to be a lot more understanding, and there isn't. And the Downtown Association is one of the worst as far as trying to gear who can and cannot be on the street when they really have, you know, if you go to other cities, there are homeless people everywhere too, and you know, there are ordinances everywhere. But
Margaret has said that she has been conversing with other folks who have been homeless or sort of in the penis. You've been here, you said you've been doing this business for 30 years, and other people have been in front of your store, the dancing band Vince, and I guess...
Matt's man, and...
and other folks, you have years.
For years.
Any problem with these folks?
I've never had any problems with people directly, no.
Of course, they probably haven't.
I've never complained either. Uh-huh. In 30 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And
did you talk to the gentleman who was associated with one of your employees that kicked over, who threatened Robert and kicked over his cart? Did you have any conversation with him? Did not do that? Because he still walks by him and kind of stalks him. And
they've been threatening him still. He mentioned that there were a couple, not serious, we're going to kill you kind of threats, but you know, the kinds of things that young people will sometimes do, laughing at him as they walk by and stomping.
Yeah, I talked to them, you know, I told them it was totally uncalled for, and you know, I asked them to leave him alone, basically, not to touch him or touch his belongings. There was absolutely no reason to do that. No, I'm sorry that happened. And I told them it was immature behavior on their part, you know, and I explained to them that I don't want that kind of thing happening, and I told my employee, and she said she told her boyfriend, you know, it's like, they're young, and I mean, I don't think they use very good judgment with it, but again,
I don't know. You know,
well, I guess I can't control other people.
No, you can't. The concern, I mean, Marilyn, of course, and Doug have their own concerns. My concern is the use of a restraining order to get somebody to move. And I understand you felt you had, you know, a lot of personal concerns connected to this as well because of your own history. But
my,
your mom.
And my employees, you know, I seriously, I have a lot of very concerned, unhappy employees.
And you mentioned you're afraid that they were going to quit on you. And I guess...
No, I don't think they're, to be honest, I don't think they're really going to quit on me. They like their job. I don't think they're going to quit, but they have been very upset, they very concerned, and nobody has quit yet, but you know, I can't say what they're going to do in the future. I can't, you know, all I can say is they're really unhappy, and their parents are unhappy, they're young girls too, you know, and I have, their parents are concerned about their welfare as well. Their parents have complained to me too.
But in the sense of that Robert has actually done something threatening or abusive?
Well, if you ask someone to not stare at you and they just continuously do it.
That's, you know, that's a form of harassment perhaps?
Sure, don't you think?
Yeah, I can think it could be interpreted in that way, sure.
I mean, it's not normal. I mean, it's not normal that somebody sits in front of your store and stares at you for weeks at a time. That's not normal.
But, you know, I tell you what I would propose, and I'm no expert in these issues, but I would propose a sit-down with Robert and all the employees and have them explain to him their feelings, have Robert and his friends talk and explain his situation. It might not get any better, but I sure as heck don't think it's going to get any worse as a consequence of this. And it shows that you're making a good faith effort to use something other than the police to get rid of a man. So that's the concern a lot of us have.
Well,
see what you think about that.
By his behavior, I don't think he's completely rational, to be honest with you. I don't think someone that decides to sit on a bench from 7 in the morning until 10 at night and not get up to go to the bathroom is totally rational. So I'm not really comfortable, you know, trying to come to a rational decision with someone who I don't trust in the first place.
It's not so much we're talking about rational decisions here, although one would hope that would happen. I'm talking about people getting to know each other's concerns. So, I mean, I'm talking to you, And I was making all kinds of sarcastic comments about you. I didn't know you beforehand. I hadn't spoken to you. I had a radio show from 11 to 1:30, and I was reading the restraining order and just expressing great outrage about this. But when I talk to you as a person, a real human being on the sidewalk, that is considerably different. You're a real individual, and I'm just thinking that if Robert hears the employees not just saying, "Don't stare at me, what are you looking at?" If they actually say, "You know, Robert, it really makes me uncomfortable when you do that. A couple years ago I was in an incident where I was afraid to go home." You know, so people actually talk about how they feel about that situation. I think people are more likely to hear each other. That's just my thought.
Well, it sounds like, you know, you talk to him a lot, and it sounds like this lady's talked to him a lot. I mean, have you ever said that to him? Has anybody ever expressed?
Human being here, it's just not right.
That I'm a human being. My employees are human beings. We have rights too. Don't you
care? Have
you
a care? Right.
More benches.
Well, that's not going to happen right now. That's
could
know.
Happen next week. I mean, we could get more benches immediately. All we do is get Parks and Rec to put them in. Yeah. They've got benches sitting in storage that they took out before.
Right.
Well, I mean, you, that was your perception, your feeling that he was staring at your employees, and that was what your employees told you. So obviously it's a concern of theirs and of yours. And whether some people would regard it as valid or not isn't the question. It's how you feel, right? That's how you feel about it. I mean, that's the reality from your point of view. In other words, if I'm talking to you and I disagree with you about it, that's not the point. I'm not going to argue with you about how you feel. How you feel is how you feel. It has to be acknowledged. It's just how you feel. And because it's how you feel, it should be heard. You know?
Also the fact that, you know, not only has he done that, but on a daily basis, in the same place, from early hours to late hours. I mean, why wouldn't he sit on that bench 10 feet away or on the other one or, you know, across the street? There's a lot of safe places.
You asked that question a moment ago. Marilyn explained that one of the reasons why he didn't move to that bench was they were facing each other.
Yeah, but I think maybe that's kind of like just an excuse, is what I think. And there's a lot of very, you know, highly trafficked stores with a lot of traffic down here. I mean, there's a lot of places he can go. He doesn't have to stay the same place every single day. There's got to be a reason why one single place every day. That's what I'm getting at. I mean,
I don't think it's bunny shoes. I understand what you're saying.
I mean,
certainly if you're here, you probably feel singled out. Here's this guy here every day. But in fact, when somebody finds a comfortable spot, then they just choose to stay there. It may have nothing to do with the stores that are next door to it, except for the fact that he said to me that, again, he's concerned about showing the contrast between upscale stores and the city's way of dealing with homeless people, which is essentially
that's
extreme.
People have this idea about merchants that we're all rich.
Right.
Guess what? Yeah, it's not true.
Oh, I believe you.
It's not true.
But when Borders comes in, you're all going to make lots of money. Just kidding.
You know, so there's extremes. He's being extreme.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean, I'm not saying his position necessarily has a lot of merit.
And, you know, everybody sells all kinds of things. You know, my hats are more expensive than some hats, possibly. They're a different quality.
Right. I mean, but it is true, however.
Is that my fault?
It's all your fault. You're under arrest. What is true is that the merchants in town have created a series of ordinances that penalize homeless and poor people. They did so in 1994 under the leadership of Neil Coonerty, the downtown ordinances. You're familiar with those? Sit on the sidewalk, go to jail. You remember that stuff?
They're in every town, though, and they're there in place to help with unacceptable behavior, not for behavior that's not okay. That's okay.
Yeah, but see, unacceptable behavior is behavior that is criminal. See, that's the point. And if it's criminal, there's a law to deal with it.
There really isn't. This town has the most lenient laws of anywhere.
Actually, there's the worst sleeping ban in the state.
Wow, that's the one thing then. I've got to get in.
Thank you for talking to me.
Yeah, I hope something will work.
It'll be 6 to 8 on free radio on Thursday if you're interested.
That's okay. I hear it every day.
All right. Well, I expect you to call in.
Well,
And I think it's just really horrible what's happened to him. It's ongoing, and with many homeless people, it is an ongoing thing. Harassment and, you know, the stigma, like I say, and just being banished from here, there, and everywhere, and not being accepted for the person that they really are because they're being looked at for what they may look like.
Well, it sounds to me like you're using this as, you know, just to your advantage for a political platform that you're not really looking.
That is incorrect.
That you're not. Oh,
that
my.
Is incorrect. I have no political agenda.
That's
I want.
A little weird there.
No, I have none. Robert is a friend, but I'm not on his bandwagon all the time. He has a lot of good things that he supports and stuff.
I do have a bandwagon.
I know, you do. He is supportive.
I would like to see the downtown ordinance is removed, and, you know, I am particularly sensitive to merchants who get restraining orders to get rid of people where there's no violent behavior. On the other hand, I like to think of myself as a human being who can listen to our sides.
Physical violence, just harassment. But, you know, emotional harassment counts. Don't you think?
Yeah, but again,
just because it wasn't physical violence,
a class kind
of
thing.
Officer standing for half an hour staring at him. He had people come up and yell.
In other words, is it a situation where a person who is of a different social class feels that if a person who is poorer looks at them in a certain way, it becomes offensive? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I certainly think that, you know, that's very understandable. People could say that. But I can tell you, if this person was sitting here with a coat and a tie and, a portable telephone staring at my employees, it would be even worse, you know, because then they might think that, you know, he had
white slavery from
that. I mean, who knows what? The point is, it's like, I mean, you know, I don't think it's it's not a class thing. It's a disrespect thing for other human beings. That's how I feel. It's like he isn't respecting our, you know, our position, our concerns.
How often were you out on the sidewalk in terms of were the displays out
daily.
There? Daily displays.
Yeah, because we have our sales shoes right in the alcove there. So, and when it was sunny, you know, we would have them under the awning. So daily, in and out, constantly. You know. And I actually brought the shoes in thinking that might have caused, you know, more problem for the girls because they had to, you know, have that interaction more often, so I removed them so that...
How's your business doing?
My business is fine.
Better than a couple of years ago? I heard Cinema 9 was created, you know. Lots of, you know, new stuff downtown, the new buildings. I'm just wondering, are things better than they were?
Well, that's pretty relative. I don't really want to get into talking about my business particularly.
Sure.
You're
certainly not worse off than a few years ago.
No, I'm not worse off. No.
We've heard the downtown is recovering, is what I'm saying.
You know, downtown has always been fine for me. I've never had a problem being downtown. You know, I've always had business downtown, so I like it here.
One of the things you want to say to Free Radio folks who heard this dispute, and who may be, you know, I suspect they're more likely to be sympathetic to my position and Robert's position, which has to do with don't go get a restraining order if you have a problem like this because it's going to create a worse problem. But you have your own, you've presented your perspective. Is there anything you want people to know that you haven't heard, that you haven't said?
Well, mostly I really don't like having to deal with the legal system at all myself. I mean,
it costs you $100 at least, right?
Oh, you know, no, considerably more. Yeah, I mean, I don't enjoy that. I don't. It's a last recourse for me. But he was asked by the employees, you know, to stop staring. He was asked by the employees, you know, not to do that, and he said he could do whatever he wanted to, and that was it. So, you know, I had no...
These were the reports you received, or this was the conversation you witnessed?
That's what my employees told me, yeah.
I'm not saying that they're not telling you the truth,
no.
I'm just saying.
That's what my employees told me, yeah.
And are you talking, you had about, what, 6 or 7 employees?
Mm-hmm.
And, was this the concern of all the employees, or a few, or most of them?
All.
Without exception?
Without exception.
So they all thought they were being stared at?
Some were stared at more than others, I shall say. You know, some experienced it more than others, but That was the report I had from all of them.
And this happened initially, like the first week into it, or it happened later on? Any particular point at which these reports started coming into?
You know, I'll tell you, they came to me way over a month ago, and I just, you know, I saw them out there, and I kind of ignored it. I mean, the girls are complaining. I'm going, you know, well, you know, it's
Santa Cruz.
It's, yeah, I mean, like I said, I've had, you know, people in front of my stores for years doing all kinds of things. But I kept getting more and more complaints and more concerns from the girls. And they were, you know, really unhappy and really uncomfortable. And so that's when I started taking a look at it.
So the employees came up to you and went out of their way to say, look, we talked to you about this before, but it seems to be getting worse, or it seems to be continuing? I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, exactly. I can't...
You don't remember exactly the details?
I just found myself coming to work with girls being very unhappy because...
they've had stared at?
Yeah, they've not felt stared at, but they were telling me they were stared at continually every time they would go out of the store, every time they would come into the store.
And you talked to the police about this at some point, I imagine.
My manager did. Yeah, my manager did talk with the police about it. Yeah.
And you went down here when the police came and talked to Robert? Or?
I was here when one of the employees' boyfriend kicked his cart, and the police came at that point. I was here that day.
And have you looked at Robert for a period of time to observe his behavior yourself? Have you seen him acting in a fashion you yourself personally consider inappropriate? I mean, have you observed him staring in some, you know, rather offensive fashion?
You know, I did earlier, more than lately, to be honest. I noticed it more a couple of weeks ago. Well, I don't know how long I've had the restraining order now, but I noticed it more before than I had lately, personally.
Right.
Yeah.
And
even when I was inside the store and there was nobody here, I watched him, you know, just watching what was going on inside the store.
Is it sort of like, do you think he had a, did he seem to have a particular interest in the store, or is it just it's the store that happens to be in front of a bench? I mean, what do you think?
I think that's like which came first, the chicken or the egg. I mean, I can't really say for sure. I'm not inside of his mind. All I know is he comes to this bench every single morning early and stayed late all day. You know, there's a billion places he could sit. So I don't know, you know? I don't know.
And you worry that there may be some particular focus on your store, and so that was one. I know that you mentioned that in the restraining order.
You know, it's really hard to know exactly where he's coming from, but I know it's not particularly normal behavior, even for a homeless person. You know, and certainly homeless people have to do other things than, you know, people that have homes. Their behavior is different, right? They haven't got a place to go home to, so they, you know, they have different habits. That's understandable, but I've never...
It's more the behavior of a political person than a homeless person.
Oh, well...
If you know what I mean, there's a person who has a political cause, they're going to stay in one place or determine, I got a sign, I'm running for president, or ultimately...
Well, that's a new thing, that president, running for president.
Last couple weeks.
That wasn't good. I mean, he was doing this way before he was running for president. That was kind of a, you know, that was like a more recent development, and I don't know what brought that on, because he obviously wasn't running for president last month. And so, you know, what's he doing? I don't know. I don't, you know, he's not really running for president.
Well, some people run for president in order to get a platform out there.
Well,
you want to express points of view to communicate with people. I mean, we don't want your kind around here.
Yeah, he's not running. I mean, I don't know what.
Well,
I don't know what he's, you know, what he's really doing. You know, I think he's personally... I think he's a little unpredictable.
Based upon your concern about his walking up and down and reports of his staring at you and...
Briefly interrupting this interview with Margaret Payne of Bunny Shoes, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. This interview happened about, I think it was a week ago Sunday. and in front of Bunny Shoes at a protest which Marilyn Weaver and Doug McGrath initiated by sitting on the bench, essentially taking the place of Robert Stephan, who Bunny's Shoes injunction restraining order secured through Judge Stevens had gotten this man accused of no violent behavior of any sort, was forced to move away from a bench and away. He cannot come within 25 yards of Bunny's Shoes. It should be noted that Robert Stephan interviewed after this interview, we haven't got time to play that this time since the show ends at 8, denied walking up and down. He said he would stand respectfully at a distance from if the bench were occupied and wait sometimes as long as an hour or two until the person sitting on the bench got up and then he would come and sit on it. That's his account. I want to give you that bit of information. Here's an incoming call. We'll interrupt our tape briefly to take this call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, that was my bench.
Oh, this is the Bob LaMonica bench?
It's been usurped by Mr. Stephan.
I think that you have a legitimate grievance. Possibly a mud fight would be appropriate.
How long is reasonable to occupy a bench on Pacific Avenue?
Well, that depends on whether other benches are not available and whether somebody else wants to sit there, I would suppose.
I think it still begs the issue how long is reasonable. If someone sits at a particular bench every day, and if the proprietor is correct, from early in the morning to late at night every day,
mm-hmm.
it's a public bench, I think it begs the question how long is reasonable to occupy a bench.
Is it reasonable to force a person to leave the entire Bunny Shoes area with a restraining order?
Not knowing the details, I'm telling you, having listened to the proprietor and the interview and the brief bit from Mr. Stephan before, it seemed to me that she probably went out of her way to try to find a resolution other than...
She never spoke to him.
The strong-arm approach.
She never spoke to him once. She's refused to speak to him ever since. She has not offered to go through any mediation process. I don't think she's gone out of her way.
What would the mediation be? Would the mediation be that this guy gets to occupy that bench indefinitely? Ad infinitum.
Well, I think the mediation
until the next earthquake or what?
Well, the mediation would be for people to understand how everyone feels and see if there could be some resolution worked out. I mean, they would obviously want him to move. He would want them just to ignore him, and they would talk about it and try to come to some third solution.
Well, let's talk about it right now objectively. How long is reasonable to occupy a bench on Pacific Avenue?
Reasonable?
Yeah.
Well, I know how long I would occupy a bench, but I have a home.
Well, what do you?
I'm not running for president.
Well, whether one has a home or not, a bench on Pacific Avenue, I would say a couple of hours is reasonable, isn't it?
You know, offhand, I would agree with you, sure.
All right. I mean, so we're talking reasonableness here. Now, given the nature of reality and human reality, all things are not reasonable.
Correct.
But that does not necessarily mean that all things should tend towards justifying irrationality, neither.
It's not so much justifying irrationality. I mean, although frankly, when I see homeless people occupying public spaces downtown to essentially show the disparity between wealth and poverty and the abusive practices of police and city officials toward the homeless, I'm happy with it.
Well, if you're talking about political freedom of speech,
right,
and making a demonstration and making a public appeal,
right,
there are ways to do that, and that is extremely protected, and I'm behind you 100% on that.
Well, that's what he was doing when he got the restraining order.
I wonder.
Listening
to her, and I'm just trying to interject this
sure.
as nice as I can. Once again, how reasonable is this?
Be nice.
And my tendency is to tend to agree with the proprietor that this was probably uncomfortable for them, and if what she's saying is correct, and I tend to believe that it is, that the guy was sitting there from very early in the morning till late at night every day, and it is a public bench, he had become therefore a fixture, like a lamppost.
Mm-hmm.
He had occupied it. It was therefore his private possession.
But it wasn't. He didn't insist on it when other people used it. He didn't insist they get up and leave. He just used it when
he
could.
Was he ever not there?
Well, he has said that on numerous occasions there was someone else occupying it, and he just waited at a distance until they left, and then he got up.
Well, I mean, listen to what you just said. Okay, somebody's occupying his bench. What's he do? He doesn't go sit in another bench. He doesn't go sit somewhere else.
Right.
He waits until the bench is unoccupied, and then he occupies it.
Right. Obviously, he regards it as a kind of a form, at least that's what he was telling me eventually, of political protest.
What is the protest? That the bench, which is a public bench, downtown Santa Cruz, Pacific Avenue, which we've already said reasonable would be a couple of hours.
They were trying to drive him away from the bench, well, Robert. That was the point. And
but
he was
Mr.
asserting
Norris,
his right to be
Mr.
there.
Mr. Norris, I mean, let's look at this, as I said, objectively. Okay. The guy, the bench is occupied on occasion by someone other than Mr. Steffen.
Robert, we have a comment from our co-host. Are you near a radio? Can you hear the co-host on the radio?
No, I can't. I'll have to speak on the phone.
Let me give you the phone to talk to him.
You want the political protest he is making. It's very simple. The difference between the wealthy elite and the poor, non-working, homeless class. Okay, he's sitting there, and that's really what the big problem was that he started out making a reference to the difference between homeless and the rich, or the merchants, as he puts it. And that's a political question. So you're saying that we don't have the First Amendment right to protest, which is what he was doing initially. And that's really what she took offense at, was that he originally... And they actually started harassing. What about all the harassment of him? What about her manager, who is most likely the person who has continually flipped him off and made comments to him all this time? She speaks of what Robert does. Well, she never says Robert was ever violent or threatening or in any way abusive other than to supposedly look at them too much. But yet her employees, including the boyfriend, were abusive. And yet they're correct? That was all right for them to do to him?
I get to respond now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying that this is a contest between the wealthy elite and the poor homeless, and it's taking place on this bench in front of Bunny's Shoes in downtown Santa Cruz by a guy that considers it his right to occupy the bench by default, and whenever he might have to go to the bathroom and somebody occupies the bench, he'll wait until they're gone, then he'll go back to his bench, morning till night, apparently 7 days a week, and this is supposed to be okay because this is a political protest, and what's being exposed here is the wealthy elite versus the poor homeless. And that's supposed to sway reasonable opinion. And I ask you, how long is reasonable to occupy a bench on Pacific Avenue?
Okay, James wants to respond. Here you go.
How long is reasonable? Until this city does something about the emergency shelter crisis in this town.
So then what you're saying then is that the gentleman was conducting himself under the manner of civil disobedience.
Yes, he was. Not civil disobedience because what he was doing is not against the law. Civil disobedience is to break a law.
I come back and I say once again, if it was not civil disobedience, which of course... these things, once they're painted to be civil disobedience or shown to be, then there is a consequence.
Well, Robert,
how long is reasonable?
If we cannot come to an
ascertainable objective,
Bob, you've asked the question.
Range on that, then we're really not being rational.
You've asked the question, how long is reasonable, and let me finish.
Yeah.
You understand the question that, you have to understand the context in which this whole thing happened. This man was arrested, first of all, he had his van seized for sleeping on federal property,
mm-hmm.
Then he was kicked out of the Interface Shelter, Satellite Shelter Program for refusing to do make work, at least from his perspective, and also because of hostile staff treatment, according to Marilyn Weaver and Doug McGrath. Then when he attempted to sleep on the porch of the Homeless Services Center, he was arrested three times and spent 90 days in jail for trespass. All this completely nonviolently. When he got out of jail, he went downtown, chose this bench, and sat on it. And I think it is a clear protest against the shelter, the way people are treating homeless people in Santa Cruz.
That's true, then waves can be made out of what you just said.
Right.
And something's been accomplished. But
right.
It probably is due time for the guy to move on.
Well, has there been a change in the shelter situation?
Hopefully there has been a change in the raising of the consciousness of the issue. I call into question the situation, Robert, in sincere terms.
I understand.
And
Robert,
I try to understand where the proprietor's coming from, and I don't think that's all that unreasonable. There are ways to do protests that are very protected, and I'm behind anyone 100% on that grounds, political freedom of speech. But that's not what I've been getting out of this whole half hour on your show about what was going on at that bench.
Well, different strokes for different folks. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate your running
about. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And that was Battling Bob LaMonica, man behind the rent stabilization initiative, and we still haven't heard anything about rent stabilization from that fine city council. We're running out of time. Let's see what we got here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, thanks. I want to make this real quick.
Go ahead, Merle.
I think as far as being reasonable, the amount of reasonable time he can... How, what is reasonable for him to sit on a public bench? Isn't he an American citizen? Isn't
right.
a public bench? Is how much... You know, this guy's asking, and I'm not saying anything about this guy. I don't even know him. What is a reasonable amount of time for him to sit on his bench? Sounds like, I hate to say it, sounds like something Hitler would fucking ask.
Well, thank you, Merlin. Talk to you later.
All right.
We are up against the inevitable Uncle Dennis, who has arrived, even as the phones are ringing off the hook.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. This could be the last call.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to ask, where were you guys when the benches were in front of the Palomar and all the kids used to hang out there? And, you know...
I was there. I was there interviewing people.
All right, I'm just saying, you know, it seems like these people, you know, like no one's really looking out for the youth, you know.
I think you're right. I think you need to be on the show. You want to be on the next show as a guest?
Sure.
Give me a call, 423 Huff off air.
Huff?
H-U-F-F, that's 4833.
Okay.
And I appreciate your call in, and I will schedule you for an interview on the subject. Youth are very important.
Cool, thanks.
All righty.
We got to go. We have... Earth First coming at you, WTO, let's hope that we have a word from Earth First about the need to have the human environment protected around the sleeping ban and all those great folks who can do all such sensational events in Seattle. Might bring a few of those events to Santa Cruz, and you too can give a call to 420-5020. That's the Santa Cruz City Council to demand they put the Homeless Issues Task Force emergency item on the next agenda. Give them a call, 420-5020.
Yes.
Off the air, I have
no,
a
you're on the air, but we can call again in a moment, or I'll get back to you. Hello, still there?
Yeah.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
I wanted to find out about a memorial service for Eddie.
Eddie, of course, is the man who died, the young man who died of the heroin overdose, one of the four casualties in the last 3 months that our city council is so dutifully ignoring. I don't know the answer to that.
I thought maybe James would.
You also, of course, are Linda LeMaster of the Homeless Issues Task Force, who got the veto from Mayor Keith Sugar himself yesterday when you tried to get him to put on the agenda the Homeless Issues Task Force item of no enforcement of the camping ordinance until there's safe zones investigated and set up. Is that accurate?
It's a little out of context, but it's not inaccurate.
Anything you want to say about that?
No, I think you're doing a good job there.
Oh, thank you,
Linda. I just wanted to find out about the other thing.
All right, well, we can talk more. I can't talk to you now, though, because I got to go.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
That's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Stop that laughing, Uncle Dennis. He's taking away everything. He's taking my pants away now, folks. Get away from there, Dennis. tune in next Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning at 96.3 FM, or give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. We'll give you more information. In the meantime, flood the city council with calls, 420-5020. Make it legal for people to sleep. Establish safe zones. Do what your own Homeless Issues Task Force has told you to do. Uncle Dennis, are you ready to roll?
Oh, sorta.
Go for it, big guy.
Okay, the first thing we do is stop your tape, Robert.
Thank you.